This is Mother's Day, and God is good in many ways. I didn't want to preach on Mother's Day today. I didn't want to do this sermon, and I wasn't motivated to do it, because anytime you have a special day coming in church and you got to preach on it, God always gives you experiences to say if it's really real. Amen. And after the last week of many marital adjustment sessions, and that we've had at our house, and after sharing this, we'll probably have some more marital sessions next week. Yeah, I didn't want to preach on it, but God says, oh, okay, I'll save you a little time. So we're going to basically do my outline. Amen. We're going to basically do the outline. And we're going to go to 12:15, just to let you know, because usually I'm already preaching about 35 minutes by now. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God. And thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word. And Father, thank you for this message that was written long ago. I ask you to move me and have the freedom to say and do whatever to whomever. Lord, this is about you and about mothers. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, we all say, praise God. If you heard an amen, you know they're visiting. And make sure you give them a visitor packet. We're going with 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. I'm going to talk about a healing heart. Well, that was going to be my main emphasis, but since we're going to just do a quick overview, you won't hear that very much, and you're just going to hear what it takes to be a great mother. Amen? A woman? Maybe I can get a better response if I go the other way. One of the things I've learned as we go through these verses today, and that is, if you're going to be a great mother, it is always good to be a great woman first. Very seldom do you have great mothers that are not great women. Because if you don't learn how to be a great woman before you become a mother, many of those insecurities and many of that inconsistency is going to follow you into motherhood. And when you get children, you multiply your inconsistencies. And when you get children, you multiply your inconsistencies and insecurities. So as we walk through this woman that's in the Bible, I preached this years ago, this passage years ago. But I thought it'd be good to throw this back in today on this Mother's Day. And you're going to see what God sees in a great mother and how God can bless a great mother and how God can turn free a great mother to be used greatly. And it started off being a great woman. Look at chapter 4, 2 Kings. We're going to begin with verse 8. And like I said, we're not going to be able to get deep today. We're just going to skim the surface, because if I ever finish the book of Matthew, if we ever could start the book of Matthew, the next book we're going to deal with is the Kings. And these are some of the chapters. I try to always study the book long before I try to preach in it. That way it's personal to me, and then it's a sermon to you. Amen. So watch verse 8 as we start. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where there was a great woman. What was the first thing we noticed about her? She's a great woman. Now, a great woman means that she doesn't have children yet. And she's learning how to be a great wife before she can be a great mother. And before you can be a great wife, you got to be a great woman. Now, since this is Mother's Day, I'm just emphasizing the one-sided effect of the relationship. Guys will get theirs on Father's Day. Amen. So, just relax, guys, for now. Okay. Was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God who passed by us regularly. Let us make a little chamber for him, I pray thee, with some walls on it, and let us set up for him a bed and a table. Let's put a stool in there, a lampstand, and it shall be that whenever he comes to us, that he shall turn in there and rest. What is the first sign of a great woman? The first sign of a great woman is hospitality. You got to be a woman of hospitality. In our society, especially here on the east side, isn't it amazing that how oftentimes we're more concerned about how our house looks than how to win a soul? Now, that was a courtesy response. I like a truthful response. You know that we have a lot of women at times that's more concerned about someone wasting grape juice on their carpet than getting someone from on the trip to hell to the trip to heaven. The very first sign of a good woman, a great woman, is not becoming married. Thank you, bro. Appreciate it. It's not becoming married. It's not having children. It's a woman of hospitality. That simply means that you think of others more than you think of yourself. And God says this was a great woman. Now, men are not built for having relationships first. That's not our greatest attraction. Can't hear you. Our greatest attraction is to go out and win something, beat up somebody, bring it home on your back. Come on. Throw it on the porch and say, clean it, woman, cook it.
Oh, no.
That's our greatest strength. But a woman is totally associated with relationship. Have you noticed that? She's concerned about not just being hospitable to this person, but she's going to spend some money to make him feel at home. She wants to build a whole new room on the house. She wants to put some furniture in there. She wants to put a particular type of furniture. And you think the husband's concerned about the relationship, or is he out there checking up? Now, how much is this relationship going to cost us? So if you want to be a great woman, in order to be a great wife, in order to be a great mother, you got to have a quality that God can give you called hospitality to build relationships. Isn't that something? Look at this. We got to go. We can't concentrate. I can't let you sit there and mull on what I'm saying. And it fell on a day that he came there, and he turned into the chamber, and he was laying there, and he said to Gehazi, his servant, call the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him, and he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast shown care for us with all this care. What is it that we can do for you? Would you like for us to speak to the king of the land for you? Would you like for us to speak to the captain of the host? She said, I dwell among my own people. Now check this out now. I don't know about you. Now, this woman has gone to all the expense. She's gone to all the trouble to build this man his own room, his own place when he comes. And then he won't even talk directly to her. Come on, ladies. Would you be a little bit ticked off? You don't think I'm not worthy enough to talk directly to me? You're going to talk to me through a servant? Your servant didn't build this room. The servant didn't build, just take this money from her husband. Your servant. Can't hear you. I don't know if that, but I was a lady. I could have been a little ticked off. But isn't this something? She said, in the midst of all that, I dwell among my own people. Anyone know what that means? You want me to translate that from Hebrew? You know what she just said? He says, Look, I'm the man of God. You know I'm a man of God. I can do anything for you. I can go talk to the king for you, who is the most powerful man in the land. Or I can talk to the captain of the host, who can put an army around your house where you can always be secure. And she says, I'm okay. I'm very content with my life. Now, it's one thing for someone to ask you, can they do something for you, when you know they can't do nothing. Amen. There's another thing to be asked from someone that you know got all the power from God to do whatever you ask. This is the same man that made an axe handler float. I've never been able to do that. Same man that took some oil and multiplied it and multiplied it and multiplied it. Same man that took some bread, made some bread that would only feed about 3 or 4, and they kept breaking, fed over 100 people. The same man that could call down from God and have the angels show up. Same man says, what can I do for you? And she says, I'm content. You want to be a great woman? You need to learn to be content with what God has given you. You want to be a great wife? You got to learn to be content. You want to be a great mother? You got to learn to be content. No one can appreciate it more than number one God who's given it to you and the ability to do that. And the people who know you. Now watch this. This is something. I wish we had time. When she left, verse 14 said, what can we do for a woman who's content? This is the man of God asking her, "What? I don't know anything we can do. Gehazi, the servant, says, you know she doesn't have any children. Does anyone here know what it was like in those days for a woman not to have a child? You were quiet. It was quiet in the home. That came from a man, didn't it? No, a woman would never say something like that. And then to say it out loud. Do we have any ushers here? You want to escort this man out of here? I guarantee none of you had any idea. Today, if you don't have children, it's almost like it's a badge of courage not to have children. It means selfishness that comes through. Back then, in those days, if you was a woman and you couldn't give your husband any children, you was worthless. They looked at you as one of the greatest disgraces, and it may not even be your fault. Could be the guy's fault, but if you didn't have the children, they just disown you. You was no good. Now here comes a woman who has no children, who has a man of God standing before her and say, can I do anything for you? And she says, I'm content. There's a possibility here. There's some great possibility here. And if we're going to be great people, especially great women, great wives, and great mothers, we got to learn to be content. Look at this. After he heard that she didn't have any children, he said to Gehazi, go get that woman. Gehazi went and brought her to the door, and she was standing in the door. And Elisha said, about this season, about this time, next year, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, don't you mess up my life. Look at this, is it. She said, no, I am content. Don't you be making no promises you can't keep. I don't want no child. If you don't be making no promises to me. I've learned how to be pretty content without having children. I've dealt with the disgrace. I am okay. Now you're going to start something in this family? I'm translating out of the Hutchinson International Version so you can fully understand what I'm talking about. He said, oh, don't worry about it. Next year at this time, you're going to hold a son. Not just a child, but a son. Anyone knows how a woman was held up in those days when they gave their husband a son? She went from the outhouse to the penthouse in one decision of a godly man. Well, I wish we had time to concentrate on that, but we don't, so I'm going to move on here. Watch this. Verse 18. And when the child was grown, it fell on the day that he went out to his father to the reapers. He's probably you know, probably about 30 years old or so. Do you think that this boy is the apple of his mother's eye? I mean, it is a gift directly from God. It was an impossibility for her to have a child. The man of God says, I'm going to give you one. Look at this. And he said unto his father, my head, I'm having problems. And the man, the husband says, take him to his mother. And when he had taken him to the mother, the servant did, he sat on his mother's knees and died around noon. Let me ask you a question. Do you think God knew that if he allowed Elisha to give that woman a son when she was content, that that son was going to die with the possibility of taking a woman who was content and making her discontent? You think God knew that? But he allowed it to happen anyway. Now, why is it that you and I think that if we live a holy life, there's not going to be any difficulties to come in? And oftentimes the difficulties is not based upon who you are, what you can do. It's based upon what God wants to prove through you. I can't hear you. Now watch this. One of the first qualities of being a great woman is to be hospitable. Next great way to make you a great woman is to be content. And watch this one. When the child died on her lap, she went up, laid the boy on the man of God's bed, and came to her husband. And she walked up to her husband and said, I like the chauffeur and the limo. I need to go see the man of God. Well, that was the modern day chauffeur and limo, a jackass and a servant. Amen. And the husband says, is everything okay? And she translated out of Hebrew, said, you dumb jerk. Do you understand anything? If you wouldn't have sent the boy home, but you would have taken time off from the job, you wouldn't have been such a workaholic, and you would have brought the boy home, and you would have been there with me, you would have known the boy's dead, and you wouldn't be asking me stupid questions like this. Is that what she said? She stayed calm. You want to be a great woman. You want to be a great mother. You got to learn to stay calm. Can't hear you. She stayed calm. And staying calm, she still could know what to do and what was right to do. She said, oh no, everything's fine. Now, is that a lie? Or is that the truth? As far as she is concerned, it is totally the truth. It's fine. But you know, we learn to lie to one another in marriages. She stayed calm. Aren't you glad that we're going to have to get out of here real soon and not be able to concentrate on this one? Now watch this. This is amazing. She says, it's well. And it's going to be well. The husband says, okay. Then she saddled a donkey, said to a servant, drive. So she went and came unto the Mount Carmel, where the man of God was. And Elisha saw her far off, and he said to Gehazi, go and look at that woman. Go find out what's wrong. She's coming here, and when you get there, ask her, how are you doing? How's your husband? And how's your child? And what did she say? What did she say? It's well. As well. Can anyone have any idea why this woman is so calm? Because she has a promise that she never, ever asked for. When the man of God asked her, "Can I do anything for you?" What was her answer? No. It was his idea to give her a child. She still have a promise from the man of God that she's never, ever claimed for over 30 years, probably. I want to ask you a question. Is God as good today as he will be 30 years from today? Is God's promise just as good today, even if he made it to you 20 years ago? She knew she was going to get her boy back because she never asked for the one thing the man of God said. What can I do for you? Now check this out. This is sweet. This is sweet. We got to get out of here. When she came to the man of God, she fell at his feet and grabbed him. And Gehazi came to push her away. And the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is bitter within her, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." Ladies, let me lay something on you real simple here. It isn't a man in the world, regardless how long you look, is going to ever understand you. We are not built to understand you. Now, I'm saying this because here's a man of God. We're talking about a man of God who hears from God. We're talking about a man of God who's getting ready to do a miracle of all miracles. We're talking about a man of God who can walk with God and hear from God. And this woman is emotionally spent inside, and he has no clue. Can't hear you. Now, if a man of God who hears directly from God, who can ask God anything and he does it, won't understand, oh, woe is me. We're out there. And the best thing we can do when you come with a lot of emotion is just be quiet. Go to the garage. Check this out. I love this. If you want to be a great mother, first you got to be a great woman. And a great woman is always underneath the great mother. And you got to be hospitable. You got to know how to be content. You got to know how to stay calm. And you got to know where to go to get the right answers. And then last, watch this. She said, "Look, did I desire a son from you? I told you I was all right. But oh no, you intervened. You gave me a son. Now you got to do something about it." Elisha tells Gehazi, I love this. This is where a man thinks. Man says, "Well, I can fix the problem." The woman don't want you to tell her how to fix the problem. She already knows how to fix the problem. She just want to know, do you understand she knows how to fix the problem? And appreciate how she wants to fix it. She said, "Well, here's my servant Gehazi. He's going to take my staff and he's going to go back with you." She said, "Let me tell you something. As God lives, I ain't," and I'm guaranteed if she used some southern on this one, "I ain't leaving without you. I came here for you. I ain't going without you." Now, if you're going to be a great woman, a great wife, and a great mother, you got to be single-minded. You got to be single-minded where your real help is. She looked, and if she would have went back with Gehazi, even though he had the staff of Elisha, what would have happened to her son? He would have been still dead. She was single-minded. She says, "I came for you. You're the one that gave me the promise. I'm not going anywhere else. You're coming with me to fulfill it." When they get to the house, Elisha's still on plan A. Sends Gehazi in there, and he couldn't raise that boy. He was still dead. And she came back out, and she never said a word. She just sitting over there like, mm-hmm. Can't hear you. Mm-hmm. I knew it wasn't going to work. You man of God. Why don't you go on in there like I said in the first place? But she never said that, did she? Gehazi walks out all whipped up. Elisha gets the staff, walks in, put his eyes on that boy's eyes, put his mouth on that boy's mouth, put his body on that boy's body, put his hands on that boy's hands, and he laid there and prayed, and the boy's body warmed up. He got up, walked around a little bit, turned around and came back, put his mouth on that boy's mouth, put his eyes on that boy's eyes, put his hands on that boy's hands, put his body on that boy's body, and he sneezed 7 times. He got up and he walked out, and she fell down and praised, and he said, go get your son. Go get your boy. You want to be a great woman? You got to be hospitable. You want to be a great woman that makes a great wife? You got to be content. You want to be a great mother? After kids, you got to learn to stay calm. And you want to be an example of a godly woman? You got to know where to go to get the right answers. And you got to know that you got to be single-minded on doing things God's way. If I can't tell you anything else on Mother's Day, this is the message in short form to you. Because there's nothing better anywhere in all of psychology, all psychiatry, and any counseling, in any place in the world, than to know what God thinks a great woman is. Happy Mother's Day, and I love you very much.